The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, as part of our Friday forum, we're discussing, of course, the major stories of the week. Tánaiste Micheál Martin opened the door to an election being held before Christmas. Sinn Féin came under fire over remarks from party leader Mary Lou McDonald, where she had praised resigning Senator Niall O'Donnell last December. And finally, Taoiseach Simon Harris has said Ireland would move ahead without the rest of the European Union in seeking to ban trade with illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. That's against the background of all the other developments in the Middle East, which we've been discussing this morning. We're joined by Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at the Irish Independent, Ona Brin, Sinn Féin Spokesperson on Housing, Local Government and Heritage, TD for Dublin Midwest, and Patrick Tobin, Aintu Leader and TD for Meath West. Thank you both. All for joining us. Now, let's talk about the election first of all, Kevin. Micheál Martin, was he pressed by the Irish Times or did he volunteer?
Oh, he very much volunteered. It was the first question and he had his answer ready. There was no doubt about that. Micheál has certainly in Fine Gael circles and maybe to some extent in Green Party circles been seen as the blockage to the November election for quite some time. He is always the one that kept saying things like, ideally in February. He has now come on board. I think there was a choreography to this, which was always that you can't say there's going to be an election until there's going to be an election. Otherwise, the work of the Dáil would completely fall apart, or the work of the government, perhaps more so, would fall apart. So the choreography has started now. His soft tones about, well, if others want to get on with it, sure, maybe we could. Let's get a few bits done before
now,
we
do
go.
You believe that they're seizing their opportunity? I mean, they were not doing as well as their coalition partners, Fine Gael, in the polls. And they thought maybe by February things will be better for us. Maybe the Simon Harris gloss will have dimmed. And now with the discomfiture of Sinn Féin, of which we'll be talking in a moment, he feels this is the moment. Is that the calculation?
I think there was a fear that Simon Harris didn't want to fall out with Micheál Martin over this, because ultimately, while they'll be on different sides in the election campaign, they will also be presenting themselves as the government to re-elect. And I do think that, yes, Micheál Martin would have liked if Simon Harris's batteries ran out a little bit and the new energy kind of died down. And that was more likely than by February, because obviously Simon Harris has been going around saying this is terrible, that's terrible, somebody should do something about it, about quite a lot of topics. Now, he would say he's done lots of things too, but you can only do that for so long. And so there was a theory, Micheál Martin, the old dog for the long road, he's seen it all before, let him run out of steam a little bit. I think given where Sinn Féin have been at in the last couple of weeks, given the inevitability that Simon Harris is going to call the election anyway, I think, that it's better to get on board the bus than have a big falling out.
And what about Simon Harris? Is he looking at his name, say, Kamala, and how her momentum has slowed? Oh, I'm thinking, you know, you're only hot for a while. When you're hot, and when you're not, you're not.
Yeah, like, I think there's no doubt that Sinn Féin are on the ropes, politically speaking. So both Micheál and Simon are going to jump at the opportunity to go for an election. Like, Sinn Féin, in fairness to them, are, you know, a seasoned organisation. If they have 2 or 3 months to regroup, there's a likelihood that there will be some regrouping in relation to that. But I think one of the problems I have is that we have a zombie Dáil at the moment.
Nobody there.
So basically, the only people that are really contributing to debates are TDs that are not running for election. And, you know, debates are falling. Ministers are showing up with answers for 20 questions for an hour and a half. We're not even getting into kind of 50 minutes of it, because the TDs who ask the questions are down in their constituencies, tipping away, knocking on doors as such. So I think the government should do everybody a favour at this stage and just call the election.
Hold on. Well, first of all, we want the election. We've been calling it for over a year. We're out talking to people on the doors night after night, every weekend. I do think, particularly in light of Micheál Martin's remarks, a November election is increasingly likely, probably around the 29th. But also, the public want an election. And we don't just know that from opinion polls. We know that from talking to them. There is an enormous dissatisfaction out there among large sections of the electorate on the really big ticket items, on housing, on healthcare, on childcare, on cost of living, and on the government's failure to use the very considerable resources that it has in the budget to actually tackle a lot of the structural inadequacies in our state. And therefore, I agree with both Kevin and Patter. I think the government should put people out of their misery. I think they should put the civil service out of their misery, because you're already beginning to see in the public sector there's a little bit of stagnation and stasis because people are waiting for this to happen.
Let's be honest, and put you guys, the politicians, out of your misery, because you're all living in limbo and waiting for Christmas.
I'm one of those politicians who still is on the floor of the Dáil dealing with my portfolio and in committee and doing all of those things, and you can do that and you can do your electoral functions. But I think this government...
I mean, your point that you're crying out for an election for the last year, that may well be true. But you don't really want an election at this time. You can't,
absolutely,
given the problems you've been having.
Let me be very clear, Pat, and I'm not just speaking from my own point of view. Our party not only wants the election, but is ready for the election. And of course, during the course of that election, the events of the last 2 weeks, which we'll talk about in a moment, are going to come up. And I'm more than happy to discuss those on the air and on the doors. But actually, when we get into the election campaign, particularly for that very, very large group of undecided voters, 15 to 20%, we know what their major issues of concern are. They're going to be asking themselves, who do we want to lead the next government who's going to tackle those huge crises in our society, housing, healthcare, childcare? And on that debate...
But haven't there been a few missteps, even your own portfolio, which is housing, and you're talking about changing some of the schemes or abolishing some of the schemes, the Help to Buy schemes the government has. But also, Mary Lou McDonald going out and saying... you'll be able to buy a house for 320 grand or whatever it is. And then you have to bear in mind that people have borrowed more than that. And they're thinking, if Sinn Féin comes to power, I'm going to be in negative equity, just like after the crash.
No, and in fact...
Because, you know, if that's what happens to the market, your equity then goes down.
No, and in fact, that's not an issue that's coming up either on the doors or, in fact, with the overwhelming majority of housing commentators or people who deliver housing. We have to bring down the price of new homes. The idea that we can just have year after year double-digit price inflation, not only for new homes, but increasingly now for second homes, is unsustainable. So one, we've published a very, very detailed housing policy and five-year housing plan that sets out how we can deliver affordable homes delivered by local authorities and approved housing bodies at prices from 250 upwards and always below 300,000. We've also shown how we can work with the private residential development sector to help them deliver more good quality private homes for first-time buyers at more moderated prices. The price of new homes have to come down. And in fact, opinion poll after opinion poll has shown that is what the public understands needs to happen. We're not in any way going to push people into negative equity. These claims by government...
No,
we're going
but
to create
if the
no,
market
but,
price but, of something but, is, you're but, saying, 300,000, if someone has paid more than that, they will be in negative
here's the
equity.
Problem, Pat. Right now, a starter home in Dublin, the commuter belt, is almost €500,000. That is not socially sustainable, economically sustainable, and the vast majority of first-time buyers can't even buy a new home, even with all the government schemes, and they're being forced out further and further into the commuter belt with all of the financial, emotional, and environmental consequences. This is a debate we're up for, and I'm ready to have whenever the government calls the election.
I think what we'll see on housing, there is actually going to be a debate around housing when this election comes, because for once we actually have two very different policies put forward now by the parties of government and Sinn Féin. We actually have a choice for it, which we don't often have in Irish politics, if we're honest about it, because parties tend to be so centrist. But I think in terms of the Mary Lou's promise of a 300,000 home, I don't even know if it was damaging in terms of all the people who thought, oh, I paid 500,000 for my home and now it's going to be halved in price. It's more that people don't believe that. I don't think anyone believes that that was ever going to be an achievable thing. And Sinn Féin and Owen and his policy have walked it back and tried to explain it into an affordable housing scheme and all the rest. And I think that's slightly more damaging when you're saying things that people go, that's not real. That's not something that can be delivered. So that's the stuff I think we are going to debate. Owen is right. The scandals of the last couple of weeks will not be as influential on the actual campaign as these topics. And I think ultimately Sinn Féin obviously had a very poor outing in the locals. I think they will actually do better in the general election when it comes down to it, because we'll be talking about these topics.
Father?
Yeah, I think one of the problems with the scandals in Sinn Féin at the moment is that they've let the government off the hook, because just about 10 days ago we were talking about the government incinerating massive amounts of cash on, you know, the Children's Hospital, Metro North, the issues obviously of the Gucci bicycle sheds, all that kind of stuff. And that whole accountability issue now has fallen off the desk completely. The focus has been taken off the government, and now the focus is on Sinn Féin because of the internal dysfunction that's happening there. And like, obviously, around these issues, I do think it's important to say there's a human issue, there's a legal issue, and there's a political issue. On the human side, it's important that we don't forget that there are, you know, victims in relation to some of these cases who are in the mix here. On the political side, I think the difficulty for Sinn Féin is this, is that one, you know, they've lost a whole chunk of their former supporters and former members around flip-flopping, around immigration, around, you know, the referendums, around things like the hate speech bill, etc. And now they're in a situation whereby they're consumed with these ongoing scandals and their eyes off the ball in terms of the government. When I knock on the door, I can tell you that a lot of people are very disappointed in Sinn Féin of what's happened in recent times. And they want, you know, parties of opposition to start holding the government to account again. And I think we do have to get back in this election cycle to really start focusing on the absolute waste that's happening in terms of senior public delivery of infrastructure and public service, and also the fact that the government is grinding to a halt in the delivery of services as well.
Oh. Yeah, look, of course, Pat would say all of that. Pat is a political opponent of ours and he's battling for votes
but
in,
none of
in
that's
the same
untrue,
constituency.
In fairness.
In fact, a large portion of it is untrue. Let me be very clear. I spend every waking hour holding this government to account on their failures in housing and putting forward alternatives. David Cullinan spends every waking hour holding this government to account on healthcare.
Okay, but if I said to someone on the street, Sinn Féin, what's going on with them this week? They will say, Brian Stanley, Michael McMahon.
And I'm not denying that because that's in the news cycle. But my point is this, Patter, and let me make the point, right? Anybody objectively looking at what's going on in the Dáil or the committee goes, those of us that are tasked with holding this government to account on waste, on healthcare, on childcare, on cost of living, are doing our jobs and doing our jobs damn well. Clearly, we would much prefer to be talking about those issues. And again, as I said, when we come to this segment of the show, we'll deal with it. But don't let anybody think that there are people out there who don't believe Sinn Féin is holding the government to account.
But how can you be a vehicle?
And proposing alternatives when Patter, your own party hasn't even got a housing policy or published a housing policy.
We do indeed.
Well, we have a five-year alternative.
Okay.
Only political party to set that out. Where is your alternative, Patter?
How can you be a vehicle?
Where's your alternative housing plan?
Just let me speak.
You haven't published it.
Owen, for a second, please.
Let's hear from Patter.
How can you be a vehicle for change when you have the likes of Piers Doherty on Morning Ireland, you know, literally in a high-energy spat with a TD who was literally in the party fold 5 days previous? Like, parties often do have resignations, but they never have such a level of resignations in opposition. And when you're in government, obviously pressure is far higher on a party than it is in opposition. And it is very, very difficult to present yourself as a vehicle for change when even in opposition you can't hold your house together. And I think, you know, like, I think it's actually very sad. Many people around the country will see the disintegration of Sinn Féin over the last 12 months as actually very sad, because in many ways people did see it as an opportunity for change, but that opportunity for change has withered. Like, people asked me before the local and European elections, where did I see Sinn Féin coming in? I thought they were going to have a bad day. I thought they were going to come in at around 17%. Sinn Féin came in at 12% in those local and European elections, which was horrendous. And the reason they came in so low was because they had literally ditched from their support base and even their membership base on a range of different issues. If you look at the polls
true.
At the moment,
we get a dispassionate.
Let me finish this one point. If you actually look at the polls, and
a nice deflection from Patter not having a housing plan.
If you look at the polls at the moment, you'll actually see that the people who used to support Sinn Féin in previous elections are now some of the people who actually dislike the Sinn Féin the most because of the fact that you're not listening to the people on the ground.
Pat, you have to let me respond. So first of all, how you present yourself as a credible vehicle for change is you tell people what you would do in government to deliver that change. And that's exactly what we've done. We're the only opposition party with a comprehensive housing plan. David Cullinan will launch an even more comprehensive health plan next week. We've done it on childcare, cost of living and immigration. And Pat is right. We had a really bad election, but we were still one of the only political parties to increase our votes and our seats.
We have to talk about the four elephants in the room, which are the Michael McMonagall, the Brian Stanley, the Patricia Ryan and the Niall O'Donnell. His name, by the way, has been pronounced different ways on every single programme, but I think it's Niall O'Donnell, isn't that
correct?
Okay. And the paean of praise to him when his resignation, the reasons for, were not revealed. I mean, it just looks like you're trying to control the narrative completely and therefore cover up the truth.
Well, first of all, it's not a cover-up. And how we know that is because immediately the issue had been brought to the attention of party officials. The party did exactly what we should have done under child safeguarding rules, as we reported to PS9 Social Services.
But not to the Garda Síochána in Dublin, where the individual was actually employed as a senator.
So, first of all, Niall O'Donnell lives in Belfast. The individual who was receiving the wholly inappropriate texts lives in Belfast. The appropriate course of action, Pat, was to report it to social services and the PSNI, which is exactly what we did. Niall was also obviously suspended. He then went on sick leave. He was suffering from very significant mental health issues, which is something that had been troubling Niall for a number of years. And while the outcome of that Garda investigation has been said in all of the newspapers, it did not result in any criminal activity or any charges being pressed, the party made clear to Niall that it was not acceptable behaviour. He gave a commitment to resign, and he did resign. And yes, you're right. And you're right. Mary Lou made a statement at the time to the Dáil. She acknowledged the work that he had done both for his constituency and the party, and she wished him well.
Now, can you imagine the people who complained about him? And there's not one, not two, but three who have come forward, and they're listening to this paean of praise from Mary Lou, and they're thinking, that's not the guy that I know who's been texting me. You know, how does that sound?
Sure.
In the Parliament, you get this kind of heaping of adulation on the guy for all the great work he's done, while there's a victim listening and saying,
First of all, two things. Your adjectives are very, very far away from what was actually said. But I do acknowledge the point that you're making, because it's a very serious point. Mary Lou, I think, explained this very clearly, and people will have to make up their own mind about this. Niall O'Donnell's mental health was in a very, very serious state. The party took a decision not to contribute in any way to further deteriorate that state. I think Mary Lou's been very honest about it. I think people will have to judge that for themselves. But on the substantive point of when the matter was brought to the attention of the party acted decisively, did the right thing. When the PS&I investigation was concluded, we made it clear that Niall had to resign.
The Brian Stanley affair, where
all of that was the correct thing.
Of course, Kevin, we better get a dispassionate view from you.
I think there's a common thread throughout all of these controversies. And to be hit with four controversies like this is quite unprecedented, I think. You know, governments get into controversies. Pascal Donoghue was on the front page of the papers for days over posters, and it works out its cycle. But to have four in a row is quite stunning, really, in its own way. And the common thread throughout all that is the internal processes. So I know Owen is saying that they followed rules here and there. But to be honest, it looks an awful lot like see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Michelle O'Neill didn't see the paedophile standing 6 feet away from her. Mary Lou MacDonald did not want to hear what the scale of the accusation against Brian Stanley
was. She said she didn't know what it was. She was told about it and didn't have the curiosity
to understand that.
What is that all about? What is
He's
the nature of the complaint? Did he take money? You know, what did he do? She didn't have any curiosity. I'm amazed.
And then she
There's no doubt that a leader of a party would want to know the level of an allegation that's made against a senior party member. Now, if they're going to be on the same platforms, if they're going to be at the same events together, if they're going to be speaking at the same situation, of course you want to know what the level of an allegation is. And Sinn Féin has said, well, no, that this had to be kept at arm's length. The nature of an allegation doesn't actually change the arm's length nature of what happens. We see investigations happening with the Gardaí all the time where people know the nature of the allegation, but of course it's still an arm's length issue. And can I just say one thing in this? Like, there has been a lot of focus, obviously, rightly so, in Sinn Féin in the last while. But I will say that the government have, you know, what's happening in Tusla at the moment in children being sent to non-regulated special emergency accommodation where they're going missing on a monthly basis, where UCD have even stated that some of those children are being approached for sexual exploitation. You know, there's a level of hypocrisy actually coming from the government benches too in relation to child protection that needs to be called out as well.
Now, the question of the cost of housing, Owen, someone making a remark on your contribution. How can a house be built for 300,000 when a bike shed costs more than that?
So, well, first of all, the bike shed should have only cost some thousands. But let's be very clear, because it's an important question. Nobody is saying the house would be built for 300,000. In fact, the build cost of a house is only half the overall sale cost. I would urge the texter, go on to sinnfein.ie, read and look at the costings. No, but we've set it out in great detail. How do you deliver a home for 260,000? The state takes on responsibility for the cost of the land, site servicing, utility connections and waives development levies. You buy the home at the cost of construction. And we know from the Society of Chartered
Surveyors... And who do you sell it to then,
You sell it to affordable purchasers. We have currently an income limit of...
So who the land remains in the ownership of the state
absolutely.
All the time. And you're selling it to someone who can never actually own the thing, lock, stock and barrel.
So first of all, the purchaser legally owns the house. They can do what they want with the house. They can extend it. They can pass it to the children and grandchildren. You're absolutely right. The state will retain ownership of the land. And the great value of that, by giving people free and definite use of the public asset, we can ensure that that home is not only affordable to the first purchaser, but every subsequent generation of purchasers. This is an investment in the future of our society, our economy, and it is the only way you can deliver genuinely affordable homes.
Owen mentioned Aintu's policy in housing. They're just like, you know, first of all, there's 4,000 empty local authority homes. They're typically empty for 8 months because the government are so slow in flipping them.
That's not a policy. That's a criticism of the government. Publish your policy pattern.
Just wait.
Publish your housing plan. Where is it? Is it on your website?
Don't be so defensive.
Is it on your website? side pattern.
We will be launching it in our manifesto.
Okay, so you haven't got it yet.
So the point I'm trying to say is it takes 3 weeks to flip a private rental accommodation. It takes 8 months for the government to do it. It's way too long. We want to see that sped up. There's 90,000 empty homes currently throughout the country. We want to see a massive increase in the number of grants that are given
that?
To get those empty homes back.
And you have to do that, and you haven't told people about it.
You're asking people to tell people, but you're interrupting. When I tell people,
but you have no positive alternative.
Do you want to contribute on
that? Such a tragedy.
What's your housing policy?
What's my housing policy, Pat? I'm lucky enough to have one on the north side. Let's have the election, Pat. I think that, if anything, proves that it's time to get on with it and get it over with. Let's have these debates, let people decide, and let's do it on November 29th and get it done before Christmas.
Get it done, all right. Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at Irish Independent, owner Bryn Sinn Féin, spokesperson on housing, local government and heritage, TD for Dublin Midwest, Paddle Tobin, AIM2 leader, and TD for Mead West. Thank you all very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.